Some in audio MP3, from the book from 1957. Morning Light, On the Spiritual Path, of White Eagle. This book describes the purpose of life on Earth, how man descended from higher realms into the confined life of incarnation on Earth to obtain experiences and to achieve in the end, far greater being. The search for the light, the miracles performed by the great initiates, the secret of health and radiant being, the way of service and brotherhood, the continuation of life hereafter, are also dealt with. November 1957. Introduction. The following definition of the origin and work of the White Brotherhood is taken from a Rosicrucian source. It has been the privilege of the Brotherhood in all ages to transmit from century to century, from race to race, the secret heritage, the ancient wisdom, the inner truths which God and nature have revealed to man. Here, the fruit of human experience, the secret methods of unfoldment of the spiritual and physical personality of individual beings, the rituals, laws, principles and methods of self-mastery, of solving life's problems, of discovering the great truths here have these been fostered and taught to the few. Always the few in every race, in every land and in every time have been the protectors of this heritage. These few have been known by various names, such as the Essens, the Therapeuti, the Knights of the Temple, the Hermific Brothers, the Alchemists, and the Marfinists. They have formed secret lodges where they have taught humble students under various names and symbols. The work of the Great White Brotherhood has gone forward, even to this very hour. Every history of civilization reveals the powerful good accomplished by such secret schools. They have ever been tolerant in their religious views, kindly and merciful in their political attitudes, free from entanglements, and always devoted to the service of mankind for the greater glory of God. The White Brotherhood exists on both sides of the veil, in two worlds, physical and spiritual. Its representatives who pioneer on Earth draw their inspiration and power from these realms invisible. It is from these realms that the contents of Morning Light have come. They were spoken to audiences composed of students of spiritual science, by one called by the name of White Eagle, a symbol of Saint John, and represent but a fraction of the wisdom and truth received from him. White Eagle has been speaking through the mediumship of Mrs. Grace Cook for nearly half a century. He speaks with convincing authority, yet always quietly and with humility. The printed word is powerless to convey more than a reflection of that gentle, radiant yet powerful personality whose very presence brings a blessing. Next headline. Gleam of Dawn. We come from the life of spirit, a life beyond death, to bring you a message which will give you spiritual help, which will comfort and heal and bring peace to your hearts, a message which will answer some of the problems which confuse you at the present day. For the outer world is in a turmoil, the minds of men agitated by fear, distrust, anger, resentment, and man can find no answer to his problems, because instead of looking to the source of absolute wisdom, he endeavors to answer all questions purely with his mental or intellectual powers, or else on the material level of life. The answer to every human problem lies in the divine mind, and when man can rise above himself and contact the divine mind, then he will receive the guidance for which he longs. Our purpose is to help you to make this contact, and thus to find the true guidance, the true answer to the problems which perplex you. We have spoken many times of the great need for man to understand that he has an inner, spiritual existence as well as an outer, worldly life, and it is essential that man should discover that spiritual part, and set himself to develop it. There are many schools of teaching, but only one central truth of which all else is but a part, and this truth is pure spirit. You have this pure spirit within your own being and you are here on earth to develop your spiritual self, which is in truth the Son of God, the Christ being, lying buried beneath many coverings, physical, mental and emotional. Do you not understand that within you is something more precious, more beautiful, more wonderful than man has ever conceived? Occasionally you hear stories of a manifestation of that glory through the saints or great ones, you see through them the radiance of the divine life. You think to worship, but never to draw near these great ones. You worship from afar instead of taking hold of yourself and working to perfect your own character and your own soul, so that they become fitted for the divine spirit to manifest through you to your fellow creatures. Yet this is the whole purpose of your life. We have said that man tries to solve all the problems of the age from a purely material standpoint, and because of this he is filled with fear, fear for himself, fear of his fellows. In the new Aquarian age towards which man is advancing, there will be stimulation of both the spiritual and material aspects of man. A number of souls are already in incarnation who either consciously or unconsciously have come here to be pioneers of the new age. We would therefore have you understand that however simple, however obscure your own life may appear, you have a special mission or charge. You have come to Earth for a special purpose, not only to develop your own divine consciousness, but also as a pioneer to serve the coming age. You cannot help but develop your own character, your own innate divinity, if you do not trouble too much about your own growth or development, and instead truly serve your fellows. For when once a soul learns to recognize and obey spiritual laws, it will find itself following a spiritual pathway which seems to be already opened and prepared for it. This happens with all pioneers of the spirit, although many of these are passing through a hard time, for they have necessarily to work in comparative solitude to prepare for an influx of many brothers of the Great White Lodge, who are presently coming to the earth. Angels too will draw near, and men will walk and talk with angels. But remember, it takes an angel to recognize an angel, a god to recognize a god, so that until man has developed the necessary qualities within himself, he remains unconscious of the presence of angels or of gods. Next headline. Man earns for himself heaven or hell. When you pass onwards, your state of existence in the next world will largely depend on how you have lived here. If the appetites of the body have been grossly indulged, your subtler bodies will be correspondingly coarsened, and cannot exist in spheres of beauty and perfection. Do not misunderstand us. You may pass on to an astral plane very similar to this. A kindly life well spent will express itself in serenity and beauty in the beyond. But if your life has been one of coarse vibration and crude appetite, you will find yourself in similar conditions on the astral plane, and there will be a return to Earth fairly quickly to continue the process of education and purification. Man learns in physical life to discriminate between the real and the unreal, between the worthwhile and what is worthless. As he learns to discriminate between the worthless things and the finer qualities of the spirit, he develops what is called his astral body, which will enable him to enter worlds of very great beauty. Yet, while the ordinary souls of ordinary people, of the dear humanity whom we love so much for all their goodness, may not know very much about spiritual law, they are kind to others, and to be kind one must be unselfish. Such people after death quickly pass through the lower astral places in a dreamlike state until they reach a brighter astral realm where they meet their friends, not only those whom they have loved and thought lost during their recent earth life, but companions they have met and loved during former lives or previous incarnations. They go to what is really a plane of reunion. Those who are left behind on earth also have a right of entry to this plane, but only if they can put aside personal grief or resentment at any loss they have suffered. In other words, only if they can so raise themselves in spirit that no lowering emotions hold them down to earth, can they reach their loved ones. For further description of the plane of reunion, see White Eagle's book, Sunrise. On the plane of reunion, the soul continues with its many interests, such as music, art, literature or science, gardening, and making a plane of beautiful home, much as it enjoyed them formerly, but every interest will become keener and its enjoyment more vivid, because the person's power of expression will be greatly enhanced. This process of passing away from the physical body, of traversing the planes of life and then at the right time returning, continues usually for a long time, but not necessarily so. It is possible to make rapid progress through the planes and afterwards gain eternal freedom. Nevertheless, until the soul has outgrown its lower nature and the lower desires, it must continue its earthly lives, but once it has outworn these experiences it becomes eternally free. Yet there are those who of their own free will reincarnate in order to help and serve humanity. Some are lowly men and women who live humbly and obscurely among the masses. They have their part in the plan. Others are initiates, masters spurred by a high ideal and purpose. We would emphasize the love and tenderness of those elder brethren who have traversed the self-same path that the younger soul must walk. They understand, and never spare their help to any soul laboring on the upward path. Next headline. Longing for God. When once the soul has quitted the astral plane of reunion in order to pass onwards and upwards through planes and places of a wondrous loveliness, that are indeed beyond description, it becomes able to see, feel and know, to a limited extent, the love and glory of God. That is when that soul most realizes its own inadequacy, its own unworthiness. The intensity of the radiation from God brings about this revelation. Near, O my God, to Thee, nearer to Thee, is now its one heartfelt cry. Eventually its longing to approach that beauty grows so intense that it will do anything, or sacrifice all, to realize that longing. Then a teacher will come to the soul. My child, he asks, you want to get ever closer to the heart of God, to become ever more like God? Then you must get back to earth to learn. This is the only way. You may not accept these words with your outer mind. Your intellect may doubt or deny what we 18 say. Look deep into your heart, however, and there will be no doubting there. When you have learned to search the deeps of your innermost being, you will know that you want more desperately than anything else to be at one with your Father God. You will know that God's light is reaching you all the time. It brought you back again into incarnation. It will take you onward into greater light if you will be true to its guidance. I am the light of the world, said the Christ, speaking through the Master Jesus. I am the light. I am the light, which lighteth every man to the kingdom of God. One day you will accept this as an expression of entire truth. Underneath are the everlasting arms. Strange it is to find how many people refuse the comfort of those everlasting arms. Yet infinite all-enfolding love is an ever-present reality. God is everywhere, is in everything. There is no place where God is not, no human heart need ever be bereft of God. He suffers with man in the depth of hell, rejoices with him in the highest heaven. Is it not said that every hair of our head is numbered, not a sparrow falls to the ground without his grief and mercy? The sky over our world is high and clear, golden with shining light. Let us leave the shadows, and look up into serenity, peace and joy. Are we not children of the light? Next headline. A clear and golden sky. Right thought. We would impress upon you the importance of right thought, of thoughts of goodwill, of God thought. Because if this beneficent habit became strong in humanity, with all peoples earnest in prayer for the coming of goodwill and harmony, help beyond measure would go to the white brethren who are planning the future of mankind. Indeed, we are able to tell you that the light has already broken down some of the shadows, and that a clearer understanding is coming. Nevertheless, there is still much to be done before men are freed from the shackles of their ignorance. We must all be of the one spirit, the spirit of love, the spirit of Christ. This is only attained by continual effort to be as God created and wills you to be, sons and daughters of the light. We see a future when wars between nations will cease. We see an entirely fresh way of life opening for man, a state of being which today he cannot even conceive. But remember that all social, industrial, national and international problems can only be solved by love finding expression in patience, forbearance, service, in a word, by man living in fellowship and brotherhood with his neighbor. Already man is learning that the good of others comes even before his own good, so that out of sore travail and pain the spirit of brotherhood is slowly but definitely being born. Throughout his life man's thoughts are actively creating his world about him. His thought of today will be externalized in his environment of tomorrow. Thus, when people think angrily about other nations, And when that form of collective thinking becomes strong enough, war comes about, and this solely as a result of man's mass thought externalized and made manifest. All human life is a process of thought. What you think about, you must in time yourself become. What the world is thinking today will surely come about tomorrow. Everything in your physical world has eventuated because it was first created in some man's thought world.